heard the call to build your small business? Make it happen with a .net domain name, the place for dreamers for 30 years and counting. Visit keepdreamingup.net for tips and advice, whether you're just getting started or looking to grow. That's keepdreamingup.net.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Pacers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can get a daily dose of great information about your favorite NBA and NFL team, including the Pacers, right here. And this episode is presented by SeatGeek and the great SeatGeek app, where you can use promo code LOPACERS to earn $20 back on your first ticket purchase. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com, and on today's episode, we will reacquaint with the Pacers after taking a little holiday for Thanksgiving weekend and serve up some great, tasty Thanksgiving Day leftovers, because the Pacers had three games. There was a little bit of bad, but there was a lot of good by the end of the weekend. And we'll be sure to make sure you check in with your favorite leftovers and any other comments about the Pacers. You can reach me at email at indycornrows@gmail.com and on Twitter at indycornrows. And speaking of leftovers, you know, who doesn't love Thanksgiving leftovers? I mean, you know, except for maybe the Brussels sprouts, but, you know, turkey, fantastic in a sandwich, or you can warm it up with some leftover spuds and stuffing, a little gravy. Oh, that's the best. So make sure you're enjoying that this week as you're heading back to work. I know I was heading back home last night when the Pacers were playing the LA Clippers and was treated to the HD visuals of Mark Boyle and Slick Leonard on a drive home, long drive home from a long Thanksgiving weekend. And really couldn't believe what I was hearing as the Pacers put together probably their best effort. And it was kind of fun to listen to Mark and Slick go from incredulous to, wow, this is happening and this is over in the second half as the Pacers just ran away and put away the Clippers in a remarkable effort without Paul George, without C.J. Miles, as we would get into. And when Slick started singing at the four-minute mark to turn out the lights a la Dandy Don, I almost drove off the road. I mean, it was unbelievable. So was able to get home, watch it this morning, and it was really fun. In fact, I think I might watch it again this afternoon. I mean, the effort and the way this team played, shutting down the Clippers. I mean, the Clippers looked horrible. I couldn't believe they were, you know, 14-3 and looking like one of the elite teams in the league. They were throwing the ball all over the yard and couldn't make any shots and ended up having the lowest point total, 70 points in the Doc Rivers era. So that was impressive. But I jumped ahead. You know, we got to start back where we left off, unfortunately. Got to serve up some Brussels sprouts here, I guess, with the Atlanta game last Wednesday. It was an odd game because Paul George is out with a new little injury, sore lower back. He had been having problems with the ankle, and then didn't play against the Hawks, a game that was kind of a big game, coming off a discouraging loss to the Warriors, playing an Eastern Conference contender at home. Really needed it. All of a sudden, again, you're shorthanded, and they put up a clunker of an effort. And, you know, it's not even really worth talking about other than the fact they just shot poorly. They're 25% from three-point line, and, you know, actually the Hawks didn't shoot a lot better, but the fouling allowing the Hawks to get to the line, that was really a big difference. I think they had a 9-point differential there. And it was just bad effort all around. There just wasn't the juice that the team needed to win, and it was even a little more odd when, I think midway through the first half, the Pacers released information that Paul George, while sitting out, was going to also sit out the next three games. So that was really a buzzkill. Like, oh, losing to the Hawks, now we got the Nets and Clippers, and then on the road at Portland? No PG if they're going to play like this? Are they going to win another game? You know, it's looking like there's going to be a slide all the way down into Christmas time here with this team. So Wednesday was quite disheartening. Fortunately, holiday comes, family, friends, good food, get past that clunker of a game. And the Mets came to town on Friday and appeared to be just what the Pacers needed. So now you got Paul George out, and they're saying, you know, he had the lower back, but actually they want to rest his ankle, make sure it's completely healed. So there's enough of a gray area going on here where I'm not quite sure what's going on. But the good thing about rest for an injury like that is that the whole body gets to rest, and PG gets to get healthy. So with the way the schedule lays out, Friday, the game against Brooklyn, Sunday, the game against the Clippers, then they hit the road, but they only have one game next week at Portland on Wednesday, and then they don't play again until Sunday against the Clippers again. So basically, a week and a half off for PG. You would think any ankle injury would be ready to roll by then. Hopefully, lower back will be cleared up, whatever's bothering them there, and the Pacers can attack that back-to-back with the Clippers and the Warriors on the road at near to full strength. We'll see how CJ Miles is. Kevin Serafin also has been out with a knee, something he hasn't wanted to talk about, so it's hard to tell how bad that is. He did play one game in there, and then he's been out as well. So that's kind of the injury issues. But on Friday against the Nets, Pacers came out with all the energy and effort you want, whether you have PG or not. And Glenn Robinson III in the starting lineup now getting comfortable and start expanding his game. He had 20 points and 6 rebounds and knocked down 4 three-pointers. So all of a sudden, we got this young, long wing who's turning into a 3-and-D guy. I mean, maybe this injury to Paul George is coming at the perfect time because we're developing some depth here. Much needed, especially with C.J. Miles out. But Glenn Robinson's doing things that C.J. can't do as far as being an overall player and a guy who is blossoming. His confidence is growing. And I think getting a healthy PG back and Glenn Robinson out there, that changes the defensive dynamic for the Pacers completely. So the Pacers just ran past the Nets, 118-97. Big effort on the bench. Rodney Stuckey had 18 points. Another great story for the weekend. Al Jefferson had 16 points. Another great story for the weekend. Jeff T. almost had a triple-double, 9 assists and 9 rebounds. And Miles Turner had 4 blocks, 16 points, 8 rebounds. Solid night for the 20-year-old, which was vastly needed because going back to the Brussels Sprouts game against Atlanta, Dwight Howard simply was a monster in that game. And early on, just really overwhelmed Miles Turner. And, you know, Howard finished with 23 points, 20 rebounds. And that was a part of that game where there wasn't enough energy. It kind of got discouraging. And, I mean, Howard was like, he was, you know, 22 and in Orlando, the way he was playing, and really gave Turner fits. So the bounce-back game against Brooklyn was big because, you know, Brooklyn has Brook Lopez, who is another big classic center. Now, he had 20 points but didn't impose his will nearly as much on the glass, and Turner held his own and did his work. Al Jefferson, of course, also helping out there. They're becoming a nice duo here with the young and the old guy making plays. So the Nets came to town at a perfect time. And don't forget, whenever you come to town, or if you're in town and the Pacers are here, want to catch a game at the Fieldhouse, make sure you use SeatGeek to get your tickets. The NBA season is back, and SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being at the game for the biggest plays of the year. And with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the seats you want for great value. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house, wherever you want to sit, whether that's courtside or club seats or in the upper level. So now I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's always easy to pop open and check for tickets. I know a lot of times I have friends and family meet me down at the game, and I always like to, you know, pop it open and say, hey, you know, you haven't got your tickets yet. Here's a great seat in section 20 down low. And, you know, a lot of times for games, unless it's the big ones, you can get in for $20, $30. You just have to punch in the game and see options pop up. Look for the green dots, and you're off and running. A lot of times you can get good seats for under $20 down low and under $10 up in the upper deck. Great atmosphere at the Fieldhouse. Always a good show, especially when the Pacers put on a winning effort. And, you know, with SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending upon where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee. And best of all, now for my listeners, you can get $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. To get the $20 rebate, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter promo code LOPACERS. That's all one word, all caps, LOPACERS. And then SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LOPACERS today. So now let's get on to the dessert round of leftovers. The Clippers game, as I mentioned at the top of the show, driving home last night from a little family vacay, the Clippers seemed to not show up early, and the Pacers took advantage. The Clippers finished with 20 turnovers, which is nuts. It seemed like, you know, a lot of those were in the first half, got the Pacers going, and really they were just good stops. It wasn't like the Pacers were getting it and running. They were just getting stops and holding them down. And the Clippers shot under 32%, made 4 of 24 threes. You know, the Pacers didn't shoot the three all that well. We talk about the problems for the Pacers always. If you're going to have turnovers, if you're going to foul, if you're going to get out-rebounded, you're not going to beat the other team in threes normally. That's the recipe for a lot of these losses. Well, the Pacers only made 5 of 19 threes last night, but that was one better than the Clippers, who only made 4 threes. And they absolutely killed them on the boards, out-rebounding 52-40. Which was real impressive. Again, Al Jefferson, as he did on Friday night, solid effort off the bench, 16 points, 8 rebounds, had the signature play of the game. The place is loving the effort, the defense, and the lead expanding, and Jefferson goes to the floor without question. I don't think I really even have to look at this. Maybe Paul Pierce, after his full meal on Thursday, may have been maybe slower than Al, but pretty sure Al is the slowest guy on either team. And seeing him go to the floor, get a loose ball, timeout, got his whole team fired up, got everybody in the gym fired up for what was going on. It was really a signature play of the game. And seeing that effort out of the big fella was huge. Again, Rodney Stuckey off the bench had 12 points. And another guy who's been pretty solid now in his reserve role is Aaron Brooks. He's not afraid ever to take a shot, make a play, and he's always trying. And when he's playing well, taking care of the ball, he's a real asset, and it helps when he has Al Jefferson to work with, of course, and lately Rodney Stuckey. So, but again, for the whole Thanksgiving weekend, big emergence of Glenn Robinson III remains huge. Taking advantage of his opportunity in the starting lineup now seems real comfortable. Again, against the Clippers, he made his only three-pointer, finished with 17 points, and was real efficient. 17 points on 9 shots. And Miles Turner, again, had a big game, 17 points and 12 rebounds. This against, you know, another active big guy, DeAndre Jordan. And, you know, of course, Blake Griffin, those guys are active big fellas on the front line for the Clippers. But honestly, the Clippers appeared like they were ready to go home. And that kind of leads me into the final thing. You know, pumped about the wins. Pacers now 9-9, even at 500 as they head out on the road. Actually, currently in 7th place in the East. So rolling in playoff position. But this is a big test coming up. 5 road games against the West, starting with Portland on Wednesday. Then they'll have 3 days off in L.A. before playing the Clippers on Sunday and the Warriors on Monday. And that is an interesting dynamic when you consider the days off in L.A. What could go wrong, right? Yeah, there's plenty that can go wrong on a few extra days in L.A. This team doesn't seem like a team that would bump into issues like that. And one other thing is that they are a lot of new faces coming together. You can see that chemistry building. You can see the effort at developing that chemistry building. And there's nothing like a road trip like this for that to coalesce and really grow. I know I always remember hearing Reggie Miller talk about loving this first West Coast road trip because it really was when the team came together for the season. And the Pacers have a big opportunity here with so many off days this week. Only 1 road game at Portland on Wednesday. They're not practicing on Monday. Then they're out in Portland on Tuesday to practice. And so they'll have a couple days there, a couple days in L.A., Golden State. And then they finish at Phoenix at Dallas. There's an opportunity for a couple wins at least. So let's say worst case scenario, 2-3. You're surviving this bad stretch. Now, can they get a game in Portland? Portland's been struggling. Clippers, obviously, are going to be waiting for them. Golden State, that's going to be a bear. But by that time, they should be a little more healthy. And if they come together with the effort they've been putting forth these past couple games, you never know. And stealing one of those would really be a boon on this road trip. And, of course, the Clippers were a perfect example of pitfalls on the road. They were coming off a loss at Detroit. They're on a 4-game road trip of their own, and they finished up in Indy on Sunday. And you always hear, you know, the schedule excuses throughout the year that you hear, and 2 big ones are last game of a road trip and then the first game home after a road trip. Those are always trouble games because of guys are ready to get home and off the road, effort might not be there. Clippers certainly seemed to fall victim to that on Sunday. Once they got down, the fight wasn't really there for a late comeback. And then that first game home, you get home, you settle back in, you see family, you got laundry, you got other things going on at home. It kind of takes your mind away, and that can be a tough game playing again. Now, those things are legitimate excuses, and you can see how that can impact the team. But I've always felt like really good teams don't fall prey to those issues. And I do know the Pacers have had their issues over the past few years in those situations at times. And, you know, it kind of exposes you. And it had me raising my antenna on that Clippers team last night because I really felt like the way they kept their team together, such a veteran group, if they can stay healthy, they should be, and they are, an elite team in the NBA. But hitting a little adversity and rolling over like they did last night was not a good sign for that team's championship medal. So they will be an interesting team to follow the rest of the way, and we'll get another look at them next Sunday. So the Pacers will be in that similar situation when they're playing the Mavericks team that they beat on opening night in Dallas before heading home to end that 5-game roadie, which will be a big, big roadie this early in the season. So it's going to be a light schedule this week. We'll keep you updated on any injury news, and hopefully there won't be any other updates from the road other than injuries and good news of guys coming back and being ready to play. So thanks again to SeatGeek for sponsoring the show, and please feel free to reach out with any questions, comments at IndyCornrows@gmail.com and on Twitter at IndyCornrows. You can find us on audioboom.com. And subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play, where you can find all past episodes. So please check them out. And that's all for now. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network. You got it.